Well, I'd like you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. We're going to start there. Chapter 17. And when Wesley asked me to teach, I was, of course, right away just awed at that privilege that we have in representing God and sharing His Word, His will. And that was the privilege that our Lord Jesus Christ had. And I wanted to just look at a little background of some things that He said right before He gave His life. And this is one of my favorite sections where it just shares a lot of the heart that He had for God and a lot of God's heart. And, you know, there might be a lot of answers to the question, what is eternal life? Well, did you know that Jesus Christ gave the answer to that question, what eternal life is? I recently found that out because I had my definition, but to look at what He said. It says here, we'll start in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So that is what eternal life is, that they may know who God is and who His Son Jesus Christ is. I think that's pretty amazing. So, of course, to know God, we know that it says in God's Word that God is love. And his Son Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, not God personally in the flesh, but God, the representation of God to the world. And he that had seen Him had seen the Father. So everything that He represented was that of His Father. So when people saw Jesus Christ, they saw the things that He did, and He manifested that love that His Father gave Him to manifest. All right, let's look at verse 15. This is continuing this prayer that He had, and it says, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee. And these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. You know, that was His prayer. That was His intercession. Verse 20, I meant to read that. Neither pray I for these alone, referring to those that were with Him, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. So that includes us, right? Those that believe on, those which shall believe on Me through their word. Well, you know, we've certainly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I can safely say all of us have made Him our Lord, and we have His Spirit. We have that dwelling place. of God. And so this is this we can look at as, you know, it's a personal declaration for us too. Let's look at let's go back to chapter 15. So that was his prayer, was that the love that he had, that God had given him, would be in them. And that includes us, really. So here in chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall," that puts it in the absolute tense, "you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You know, I was sitting a long time ago, I was sitting in a class, and the man that was teaching the class was teaching the Bible, and he said, "Christianity is not a religion." You know, it automatically caught my attention, because I had searched a long time for God in my life. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know the purpose for my life. And when he said that, you know, I thought I was a Christian. I had been raised in a church. But when he said it wasn't a religion, I was like, oh, well, what is it? He quickly said, it's a relationship of a father with his children. And I thought, yeah, that is what I've been searching for. Because I always thought that God was more than a building, that I wanted to know him as my father. And this is what he was talking about. You know, Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father, to just show people that simplicity. You know, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. You know, a relationship. I was thinking about, you know, this weekend being a wonderful celebration of three people that have had a relationship for 40 years. And I got to be a part of some of it. But, you know, through those 40 years, you know, Don and Susan were talking earlier this morning about how they sometimes would call one another, and it happened to be the birthday of one or the other. And they didn't really think of it being their birthday. They just would call one another. And then they'd realize in the conversation that, oh, wow, it's your birthday. You know, there was a connection. And I think about that, you know, when Donna was sharing that, I thought, you know, we're connected to our Heavenly Father. And, you know, it's a love relationship. It's not where we just go somewhere and sit and you know, go through all these motions. It's a connection. It's a heart relationship that we have. And you know, you're going to want to do what the person you love asks you to do. It's not like it's you know, a drudgery. You know, you love somebody and you do things for them because you love them. And, you know, that's why, you know, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, when I was growing up, you know, it was a drudgery to go to church and you know, we would go through all these different types of rituals, and I thought, what does this have to do with God? You know, and I just wanted to love God, and I wanted to please Him and do the things that He wanted me to do, so that He would be, so that He would smile and be proud of me. And you know, that's how simple it is. You know, listen to this, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, there's great joy in a love relationship. You know, when religion creeps its way in, you know, I've thought sometimes, even since I've been in the ministry, that sometimes I'll go to a meeting and I get a bunch of information, but does that information help my relationship with God? I think that's always something we should ask ourselves, is what we're learning increase our relationship? I think that's so vital. I mean, because why even have the information if it's not going to build that relationship? This commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And, you know, he was going to have to give his life. And, you know, that was a commitment, to say the least. You know, he was asking his father, you know, is there any other way than to have to give my life? You know, he said, you know, let this cup pass from me. But obviously, in God's understanding and wisdom, he knew that that's what he had to do. And, you know, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, God knew the purpose for why Jesus Christ was going to have to give his life. And think about it. The purpose was so that those that believed on him could have a relationship with him. You know, what Adam had lost, you know, Adam lost his relationship with God, and God knew that in his foreknowledge that he would have to send a Redeemer that would have to give his life. You know, that was the love that he had to do that. And you know, I was talking to Wesley earlier about the fact that Jesus Christ, you know, it says in Hebrews well, let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says in chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. See, you know, he realized that he had to give his life, and it says that he endured all that he endured because of the joy that was set before him. You know, you think God maybe showed him in the garden that he was going to, you know, be dying for the right reasons? I think he did. You know, these things, let's go back to John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, I got to teach about 3 weeks ago at the family camp, and I was teaching on the Thessalonian believers, and it says that they receive joy from the Holy Spirit in the midst of their afflictions. You know, in the midst of what they were going through, the persecutions that they were going through, they received joy from God, you know. And, you know, no matter what goes on in our lives, we get some things thrown at us. But, you know, God loves us so much that no matter what situation we're in, and He knows our struggles. He knows the hardships that we have. But because of His commitment to love us, He's going to give us joy. He's going to, I mean, Jesus Christ was probably going through, it says that he was perspiring as if it was blood. I don't know if it was literally blood, but the intensity of the situation, because he knew he was going to have to suffer more than any other man had suffered. But do you see the love that his Father had for him? He was there in that garden with him. He was there giving him that joy. And that's what he... It's a relationship. It's the love that he has for us. And he's going to be there for us in any situation, okay? That's all I'm saying. You know, there's stuff that people are going through right now. You know, it's hard sometimes to go through what we're going through. But God Almighty is there to give us joy. All right, look at Romans. Chapter 8. You know, and we can be there for one another. We can love one another and encourage one another to be strong and to seek our God and to seek refuge in our God. You know, we can be a wonderful encouragement to one another because, you know, God is not going to fail us. You know, I was talking to Wesley earlier how, you know, God so many times reminds us in manifestations that he's never going to leave us. You know, and it's the times when things are rough that we wonder if he's going to deliver us, but we can just be reminded and remind one another. And this is such a great section. We're going to pick it up here in verse 28. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, all things work together for good. You know, when we're loving God, when we're just in the enjoying that relationship with him, and just so, I mean, we were bought with a price. We're not our own, we're his. It's his job to take care of us. It's his job to deliver us. Just as he was there for our Lord, he knew his God was going to deliver him. He knew that his Father was going to raise him from the dead. That's why he had joy. We know we have joy in tribulation because we know our God is going to deliver us. We absolutely know that. For verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's just nothing in this world that the adversary can throw at us that can rob us of that. You know, we are God's and we are his for eternity. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, he didn't spare his son. Is there anything that he would hold back from us? Absolutely not. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, when words get thrown at us, they can just fall to the ground. We don't even acknowledge words that aren't from our God. We don't let them even take place in our minds. You know, if God says something about us and we hear a lie, we just let it fall to the ground. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, I'm not going to say that sometimes we might get shaken a little bit, but when we get our hearts to the place where we are just so entrenched in the truth, you know, nothing, absolutely nothing that gets thrown at us is going to shake us from that truth. So here in verse 37 or verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's all because of that relationship. And we have a God that created the heavens and the earth. We have a God that spared not his son. And no matter what situation you're dealing with, no matter what situation you might be helping someone else to deal with, if we remember the love that our Father has, how he withhold nothing in giving his son, he's not going to withhold anything from us, no matter how tough it might be. We just got to remember his love. It's great. It's so great. You know, and that is life eternal, that we may know him and that love that he has for us and the love that his son has for us. So that's what I want to share.